Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the why, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, that you came, Father. If it was just me on the earth, or if it was just Neve on the earth, or Marcy on the earth, Lord God, Father, you just came, Father God, because you loved us, Lord. You came to save us, Father. And Father, we honour you for that this morning, Lord God, that you're a good, good Father, Lord. You're a good, good Father, Lord. And you never leave us without, Father God. And Father, we love you this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you're very welcome this morning to Liberty Church. It's great to see some new faces here this morning, and it's great to see our congregation here as well this morning. You know, we're in the series of Step by Step, and Whitney Houston has a song called Step by Step, and I used to love Whitney Houston when I was growing up in my teenage years. But you know, this series that we're doing, it's to help us to be equipped as a Christian. It's to help us to know the things that we need to get through as a Christian. Because this life as a Christian can be tough at times, can't it? Yeah? Only one voice says yeah. Okay. I just want to see if they're awake. But you know, this morning I've been given the topic of steps to emotional health. I want to take us through some steps to emotional health, and I want to take us through the Bible this morning. And there will be a lot of scripture that I will be throwing out here this morning, but you know what? Don't fret, because I will go through it. Emotional health. You know, what does that mean? You know, healthy emotions. When we have healthy emotions, they can bring colour, they can bring flavour, they can bring a bounce, they can bring an energy into our lives. And God gives us steps in his word, where his word says, and I think it's on the overhead, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And if you don't remember all the scriptures this morning, that's okay. But this is 1 Timothy 6:17, where it says, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You know, when everything in our lives is going good, like when you move into a new house, when you get a new job, when you get a new car, when you get a good doctor's report, or when you have money left in the bank account at the end of the month. Now, that's a Brucey bonus, as Bruce Forsyth would say. You have money left over. You know, if you've won the lotto, that's a great emotional, that's a great emotion. You know, these things make us happy. Our emotions react to physical situations like these. But you know, one of the worst disasters of all times was when the Titanic got hit. But you know, before the Titanic got hit, this ship was made with great pride, and it was made with great potential. And as people, God made us with great pride and with great potential. But the Titanic, this ship had an upper deck, but it also had several lower decks below. And as people, I began to think about this. You know what? We are great as people for keeping the party looking good up on the upper deck. And especially if you're Irish. You know, we can make this all look good. We can make the party look good on the upper deck. But while the lower deck, there can be loads of things going on. There can be loads of mayhem going on beneath the surface. Like the Titanic, if a person has all kinds of mayhem going on beneath the surface, we need to learn the warning signs as a Christian. You see, we all develop an upper and a lower deck. We all develop an upper and a lower deck. The seen and the unseen. The presented person and the protected person. If I was to show you this cup, and if you've seen this cup is well presented. There's no chips out of the cup. It's fairly smooth. The paper is all around the cup. And this is what is presented here before you today. If I was to show you the inside of the cup, this is where stuff is protected, where hot and cold fluids are held in this cup. And this is like us as a person. This cup is like us. What you see on the outside is what's presented. But what you see on the inside is what's protected. It's the upper deck and it's the lower deck. Our lives have an outer life and they have an inner life. We have an upper deck and we have a lower deck. Our life has purpose. God wants to richly provide us with everything for our enjoyment. 1 Timothy 6:17. When everything is working good on the outside, we are happy people. Isn't that right? But emotions can become destructive. They can make us feel miserable at times. Did you ever find yourself on your way to church? You're driving in and you're full of the joys of spring and then someone tries to railroad you. And feelings of anger and bitterness and resentment begin to rise up. Or maybe on your way to church this morning, one of the kids couldn't find their shoes or you couldn't find your car keys and feelings of frustration and stress levels begin to rise up. Or maybe you're just like us, the Cassidys, that never have a crossword on a Sunday morning. And when you hit the front door of the church, you're full of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a great morning it is. You're this happy, clappy, super Christian. Where 10 minutes earlier, World War III just broke out. Have you ever been there? Well, if you haven't, you have problems. You know, we can go through a week and our emotions become like a freight train. And we can't control them. And some of those emotions we can experience are like joy, anxiety, boredom, compassion, depression, disappointment, isolation, devastation, fear, frustration, happiness, grief, guilt, regret, stress, tears of joy, tears of frustration, humiliation, love and peace. And we can go through those in 1 week. And then there's some weeks that we don't go through them all. But the challenge for us is to understand these emotions. They're God-given. God uses these emotions to push us closer to Him. By knowing who God is through His Word, will show us how to face these feelings and how to overcome these emotional obstacles. You know, if you broke your leg, straight away you're going to experience pain. That pain, it sends a signal to your brain that there's something wrong with your body. And what you have to do is you have to get medical assistance straight away. When we experience emotional pain, it can make us miserable. It can ruin relationships. And it can stunt our spiritual growth. And the only way we can overcome this is by turning to God. That's the only way we're going to get the victory over our emotions. You see, God wants to give us healthy living. He wants to give us emotions that we'll be able to function every day in society. But if you're overwhelmed with different types of emotions, like if you've been mistreated unfairly, you know, if you've experienced rejection, if you're in a relationship or a marriage that has gone sour and you feel hopeless, or maybe someone has said to you, John, you have it all together. But underneath the surface, underneath the lower deck, you're struggling with anger, you're struggling with bitterness, you're struggling with stuff. You're unable to forgive things that were done to you. You see, when we experience pain, sorrow, maybe this is God's way of telling us all is not well with our spiritual relationship. You see, some of us have been hindered by something that keeps us from enjoying emotional health and spiritual maturity. Emotions can build a solid wall between us and God, between us and people. And we all play a part. We all play a part of who we are, what's presented and what's protected. And maybe you're saying to yourself here this morning, no one will ever understand the misery that I'm after going through. And maybe you're saying to yourself, this situation is past healing. Well, can I tell you that's a lie? The Bible tells us the prophet Jeremiah prayed as he watched his world crumble before his eyes. Ah, sovereign Lord, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you. This was the cries of Jeremiah. Nothing from our past, present, is too hard for God to handle. God created our emotions, and he's able to stop their destructive effects in our lives. He's able to stop them. To become emotionally, spiritually healthy involves becoming real. You've got to become real. You've got to become real. You've got to be accountable to somebody. You've got to tell somebody what you're going through. You see, you have to become real to what is actually going on inside and outside. You know, when our kids were younger, every year, Stephen, he would measure their physical height. We have two kids, and he would measure their physical height. And he would get them to stand straight and tall. You know, like, you know, you have the door frame here. So he would get them to stand up against the door frame. And he would get them to stand with their back to the door frame to see how much they had grown in height. And every year he would mark it on the door. And he would put the date beside it. And we would know by the expression on the kids' faces whether they were happy or displeased, because Stephen would actually tell them how many inches they had grown. So their face would say it all. Our spiritual growth is less measurable. You cannot demonstrate this by marking it on a door frame. You see, when we come to Jesus, we receive a new nature. When we come to Jesus, we become children of God. All the potential of our spiritual life is given to us the moment that we trust Jesus. You see, there was great potential when they made the ship, when they made the Titanic. When we come to Jesus, we have potential. We have great potential. And when we come to him, he gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us. And step one, we've got to put the good stuff in. And what I mean by that is, we've got to know God's word. We've got to pray. We've got to fellowship. And we've got to be obedient. You see, the food that we eat every day, it helps us to survive. It helps us to grow. Maybe some out, some up. It nourishes our appetite. The milk is God's word. We taste the goodness of God when we realize he will forgive our sins and make us his children. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. We've got to read, we've got to mark, we've got to learn, we've got to be inwardly digesting the word of God. Not just the parts we find appetizing, but taking the time to chew over, pray, and learn from all that God provides for our nourishment. Putting the good stuff in is learning to pray, or continuing to pray. Praying makes us spend time with God. It makes us depend on him. Prayer strengthens our faith and our spiritual growth. You see, when we know the word of God, we won't be anxious about anything. But we'll put everything in prayer and petition before him. We'll give thanksgiving and present our requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what it says in Philippians 4, 6, 17. When we nourish ourselves in Scripture, God's Word, and pray, we need also the nourishment that comes from spending time with other believers in fellowship. We need people. We need other Christians. We need to spur one another on. We need to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing in this house. We need to encourage one another. Paul wrote this in Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and I'm paraphrasing. Attending church on Sunday morning is not enough. We need to build each other up. We need to share with each other the pain and the sorrow that we're going through. We need to encourage one another and challenge one another. Fellowship helps us grow spiritually mature. Coming to WOW, ladies, on a Tuesday morning, I love it. I've watched this start off with one lady and it's grown up to nearly 30 women every Tuesday morning. We get to come, we get to hear real life stories of women, of what they've gone through, of the fears they've faced, anxieties they've faced, depression, isolation, joy, and the love of the Father and how they overcome. The stronger meeting on a Wednesday night. You've got to be built up and equipped. You've got to come. If you're struggling, if you're in isolation, you've got to come. Come out of isolation. Don't stay in that place. When you come out on a Wednesday night, you're going to be equipped for the week ahead. You're going to hear the faith of strong men and women who have shared this pulpit. You're going to hear how they've stayed steadfast and faithful on the journey. We have our very own woman in this house, Mary, that's going to come and share in this house. Come and support this lady. I heard this woman about a week ago. I'm telling you, there's fire in our bones. And if you want the fire of God, come, because you will be fired up on Wednesday night when you hear her. Praise God. We praise you for you, Mary. Thank you, Lord. If you're not in fellowship, you're not being emotionally challenged. You see, iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. That's what we do when we come together. Proverbs 27, 27. Step two, keep the bad stuff out. Emotional, spiritual health requires keeping the good stuff in and the bad stuff out. Not feeding our bodies and our minds with things that can cause us to be ill. Be careful what we take, what we watch, what we read, what we listen to, who we hang out with. For some, escape involves dependency on alcohol and other drugs. For some, it's taking a vacation. For some, it's going and buying a whole new wardrobe. You see, when we escape, it never touches the root cause that lies beneath the surface. You see, God wants to heal. He wants to heal the symptoms. He wants to take away the anxiety, the fear. He just doesn't want to relieve them. He wants to set you free in this area. Proverbs 4:23, his word says, guard your heart because it's a wellspring of life. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your boundaries. Don't get sidetracked. That can lead you to sin. Step three, exercise. We all need to exercise for healthy living. Just as a little baby develops, it must use its arms and its legs and lifts its head to make its muscles develop and become stronger. When you think of a child learning to walk, at first the child can only take one or two steps. At first the child is wobbly. At first the child is nervous about taking those steps. And as their muscles become stronger, the child can walk. The child becomes confident. And the child is set up then to walk for the rest of its life. Don't become a flabby Christian. Don't become a couch potato. Exercise the muscles of studying God's word, praying, fellowshipping. We become obedient to God's word. And the obstacles that have hindered us will lose their grip over us. We've got to exercise as Christians. We've got to become super fit as Christians by exercising the Word of God, fellowshipping, praising God in the valley and on the mountaintop. And I'm flying through this. Amen. And I know I've given loads of scripture here this morning, but it's very relevant to our emotional needs. God wants to heal our emotions. You see, when Jesus was on the earth, he expressed sorrow. He had emotions, Jesus. He expressed anger. He expressed frustration. He expressed disappointment. He expressed amazement. He expressed grief, and he expressed joy. You know, if one part of the family of God is suffering, every other part suffers as well. If you're filled with anxiety or fear, discouragement, grief, uncertainty of the future, don't be a loner. Don't stay in that. You've got to reach out. God can heal our emotions. He's our healer. He has the power to heal. He has provided everything for our healing. The cross is God's remedy for emotional pain. That's why he went to the cross. He went and he took all our afflictions. He took everything for us. You know, we don't have to go around as Christians stressed out, full of fear, full of bitterness. We don't have to go around like that. Because you see, Jesus took all that on the cross. But if we choose to stay in that, we're going to die. We need to remember, put the good stuff in. His word, pray, fellowship, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Keep the bad stuff out. Exercise his word over your emotions. When you wake up in the morning and the first thought is, I don't think anybody loves me. I'm unlovable. I feel like a loser. I don't feel good enough to be a Christian. I don't feel God loves me. You see, when you have a relationship with Jesus, this is what you hear. I love you. I love you. You're my child. I know all about your past, your present, and your future. And I accept you. I will never abandon you. And here's step four. Have a checkup. You know, we go to the doctor and we can get a checkup to make sure, you know, our sugar levels are right, our blood is pumping okay and all that. Have a physical checkup. If something is not going right in your body, you need to go and get medical assistance. But to have a spiritual checkup, and we can put that last scripture up. It says in Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This is the God that we serve. He's the God of wonder. He's the God of miracles. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Ramakaramakaramakaramaka. Oh, Ramakaramakaramaka. Oh, Ramakaramakaramaka. Jesus, thank you, Lord God. Jesus. I don't know what people are struggling with here today. I suffered with migraine headaches for nearly 7 years. And you know what? In that 7 years, it was crucial at times. And I had people praying for me. I had loads of people praying for me. But you know, I had to get real with God. I had to do a check on myself. I had to come and take my healing. That's what I had to do. And I have been set free from them. And there's times in my life where the headaches will come back. And the warning signs come if I'm overstressed or over busy. And they begin to trickle. And I've got to come and I've got to go into God's word and I've got to declare scripture over myself. Because I'm not settling for migraines. I'm not settling for headaches. And you know, there was a man in the Bible. And this man in the Bible, he lived in a tomb. He lived in a graveyard. And his friends in the graveyard were the people, the bones that were buried in the grave. And this man, he was an outcast. He was sent to this tomb and he was chained. He was naked. The people of the town, they were afraid of him. This man was full of tormented spirits. This man was isolated. This man was lonely. This man was in a lot of pain, in a lot of stress. And Jesus came. And when he could see him coming, he went and he fell at his feet. You see, he went looking for his freedom. And when he went and bowed down at the feet of Jesus, the demons recognized who Jesus was. They knew who he was. They knew who he was. And the demon said to Jesus, "Don't send us to the abyss, but send us into the pigs. Send us to the pigs." There was 2,000 pigs that day. And those demons left him. And the pigs went over the cliff. But what happened was, this man that was naked, that was tormented, that cut himself, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, dressed, fully clothed, fully restored, in his right mind. Because the power of Jesus set him free. You see, this man recognized the power that Jesus had. And we serve the same God today. This man was told to go back home. Jesus said to him, "Go back home and begin to present yourself to the people. Begin to show the people what I've done." And when he went back to 10 towns. Not just one, 10 towns to show the goodness of God, to show the power of God. This is the God that we serve this morning. He's the God of the Almighty. He's the God that does miracles. He's the God that will set you free today. You don't have to be in anxiety. You don't have to be in pain. You don't have to be in sorrow here this morning. Because our God loves you and he wants to set you free. So let's worship. Amen. ramaka ramaka. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Jesus. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Jesus. Oh, move in this place, Lord. Move in this place, Lord God. Move in this place, Holy Spirit. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Jesus. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Oh, ramaka ramaka. Oh, ramaka ramaka. You know, just before Jesus went to the man in the tomb, just before, there's a scripture before it that talks about Jesus in the boat. And he's in the boat with the disciples. And a furious storm erupted on the sea. And the disciples were terrified. They were filled with anxiety and fear. They felt abandoned by Jesus. And they go and they wake the master. And the master wakes. And he tells the storm, be quiet. Be quiet. This is the power of God. This is the God that we serve. There's power when you come to God. There's power when you fall at the feet of Jesus. You see, he will take you. He will cleanse you. He will restore you. He will make you new. And there's some that need to come. There's some that need to come and fall at the feet of Jesus. There's some that need to have a touch of his power today. Because it's only the power and the touch of the Master that's going to help your emotions come in check. You see, he has the power to tell your emotions to be quiet. He has the power to tell them to come and check, to come under the subjection of the blood of the Lamb. So we're going to open up the front. And you come as the Holy Spirit leads you. You come as the Spirit of God leads you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, ramaka, ramaka, ramaka. Oh, ramaka, 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 Jesus.